The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hey there, radios. It's Dean from Mike TV. Gosh, seems like I haven't talked to you since 2019. Well, happy new year. We hope you had a great holiday season, and we are back. Join Lisa and I on Mike TV for our upcoming 2020 preview, where we break down and preview some of the top shows we're looking forward to for the next year. And mark your calendars, because in February, our first show that we'll be fully recapping is AMC's Better Call Saul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode...
A Monday warrior, mean strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Hello, I'm Buck Henry, and I'll be the host tonight on Saturday Night Live. It's the last live show of the season, and anything can happen. I mean, there's no telling who might show up. Kim Novak, Mr. and Mrs. Jack Lord, Baba Ram Dass. Anyway, please join me, Sun Ra, Mr. Mike, Franken and Davis, and the Not Ready for Primetime Players. That's 1/2 hour from now.
Do you have any luggage, Mr. Gladstone?
Luggage? Yes, I do.
Where is it?
What?
And where is your luggage?
Well, it's in the car. It's out there in the car.
Very good, sir. I'll have a porter bring it in.
Oh, no. I mean, I'd rather not go to all the trouble of bringing it all in. I just have the toothbrush. I can get it myself. That's all right.
Of course.
Here it is. The Graduate, Part 2.
Oh, good.
Now, listen. The three principals are still with us. Dustin Hoffman, Anne Bancroft, Catherine Ross. Mm-hmm. 25 years later. And so are the characters, Ben, Elaine, and Mrs. Robinson. Ben and Elaine are married, still. They live in a big, old, spooky house up in Northern California somewhere. And Mrs. Robinson lives with them.
Mm.
Her aging mother, who's had a stroke.
Mrs. Robinson has a stroke,
so she can't talk.
It's going to be funny?
Yeah, it'll be funny.
With
dark
a stroke?
And weird and funny and with a stroke.
Tony, douchebag, when are you going to show us that invention of yours?
Yes, douchebag, just what kind of an invention are you sitting on?
It's a long story. Why don't we go out into the garden and I'll explain it to you.
Tell me, did Lady Douchebag help you in the project?
Help? Why, she was the inspiration.
Wouldn't be a lemon party without old Dick.
It's bogus money, Max.
Are you sure, Chief?
I'm positive. Well, that's funny. Feels real, looks real. It's even got a picture of President Goldwater on it.
Thanks. Goldwater lost the election by 17 million votes.
Oh, yes, I remember now. Missed it by that much.
Yeah, keep it tight, baby.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 2 of Radio Labyrinth.
Yay!
Me, Jeff, we're both here. Stephanie is on a plane heading out to Las Vegas.
She's probably there by now.
She said she took a bunch of CBD gummies
nice.
To make the plane ride go by. And we have a guest today. He is an artist and an actor. And,
I use actor loosely.
Well, you're an actor. Are you on a show?
Yeah.
Then you're an actor. But definitely an artist, comic book artist, collector card artist for Upper Deck and Tops. We've had you on before, but it's been a while. Brian Silverbacks.
Hey, what's up, guys?
I'm How glad long to has be it here. Been?
It's been over a year because I think I did the entirety of my podcast without having ventured back here.
What was your podcast called?
It was the Brian Silverback. What? See, that's part of the problem. First, it was STS, which was Shooting the Shit.
Shooting the Shit, that's a great name.
But there's a ton, I didn't realize, I didn't put a lot of research into it, so there's a ton of other podcasts that use that, so it's hard to find mine.
Yeah.
So without changing the RSS feed, I just changed the name of the show to the Brian Silverback Show.
Okay.
And, but I did it for 10 months and found out exactly how much work was involved and decided that I can't do it alone. So I had to throw in the towel because it was a big stress in my life.
Yeah.
And there,
you're doing an awful lot of work for something that maybe you're not going to get any reward from other than you like doing it.
Correct. But I had a lot of fun, but when there was a 3-month period at the end where there was no growth, like I wasn't getting new listeners. Like I knew that I was not going to be Radio Labyrinth or Joe Rogan or anything like that.
Well, you pretty much, okay, Joe Rogan's way up here in radio.
Fuck Joe Rogan. We're better than that.
I'm just saying a medium audience and then like an extreme audience. Like
yes.
That wasn't my plan. I didn't go into it with delusions.
Right.
I just know that if I'm doing something consistently, I should see growth. Mm-hmm. And the last 3 months, there was no growth involved. And I was like, you know what? Fuck
Welcome
this,
to
man.
Radio Lab.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. You just got to keep pounding away. And it's sometimes it feels like beating your head against a wall. But
I think that we do really well for a local podcast where we talk about local things and we talk about national, you know, things. We talk about pop culture, movies, TV, comic books, podcasts. But to really break out, you have to have a hook. You have to be involved with a network.
Yeah, the fact that Tim is a
that doesn't hurt.
A famous radio DJ is probably the only reason that
he's a staple in Atlanta audio world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's his hook. Like for me, it's like, who is this guy Brian Silverbacks? That's a weird name. What does he do?
But it's a cool name and it's a hook name. And
yeah.
And
it wasn't enough.
No. It just depends. I mean, there are if you were to take, you know, do one a month and then you focus it on something special or something. You know what I mean? That's how you got to do it. But
I think I found a happy medium now.
Mm-hmm.
I started a Facebook group called Silverbacks HQ
mm-hmm.
where I can.
Is that
just
all you got to type in?
Yeah.
Spell
yeah,
it out because your name.
Silver BAX.
Okay.
HQ. And it's just a group of people that like to support creative people. So if I find out this new pin draws backwards and, you know, some does something really cool, I can go into the group and share it. And that would be something I would have shared on the podcast and cut time out. But if I have this avenue of a Facebook group where I can always, and it's not just me, it's other creators and supporters of creators is what I'm trying to do. Like
right.
I just started it maybe
you get
last
more
week.
Dialogue, more chance to spread your message, and you get interaction.
Yes.
Which and we have on the Radio Shack, which is run by
Dustin Lawler.
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew that, Dustin. I just wanted Jeff to have a chance to talk.
Does he still do art? I keep following him. I never see him posting any art.
He mostly does like the cover arts for the groups that he runs. He does cool cover arts for the Radio Shack, and he does them for the Kevin Smith
group. All the ones where you guys' heads are glued on to other people and stuff?
Yeah. I love that stuff.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's not Photoshop, I don't think. I think he's using...
There's a bunch of apps where that'll let you do that kind of stuff. Steph's starting to dabble in that and getting really good at it. Go ahead, sorry.
But so since it's been a while, so my podcast started and died,
mm-hmm.
and then now...
Is it still out there? People want to get it?
You can still listen to it, yes.
Okay.
And all I'm going to do is stop paying for the paid program from Podbean, as who I use as my server host mm-hmm. or whatever. So I can go to the free version of Podbean where I'm only allowed to upload like an hour a month or something like that.
Yeah.
But at least it still keeps the content live on iHeartRadio and all that shit that I worked really hard to try to get.
And getting back to the Facebook page you have, there's nothing stopping you from doing a video on your phone and posting it there or doing something live on there.
Well, here's the end game. I ran into another artist guy who does graphic arts, and he's been involved in several podcasts. And so I got to talking to him, and we hit it off. And we're talking about putting together a show for 2020 where it is me and Mr. Blastbot who have bringing different avenues of what we do as artists.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't talked to him because his wife is pregnant, so he hasn't had a lot of time to set this up. But that's my goal, is to not have the Brian Silverback show back, but be part of a podcast where it is me and other people dividing the work and the content.
That's cool. And just to talk about podcasts and how, you know, ours has changed. We started this 5 years ago.
Yep.
With Ira. Well, actually, mm-hmm. 4.5, really. And we started at the end of 2015.
No, it was 5 years ago.
Exactly. Okay, we'll say 5 years ago. Whatever.
Sounds better.
Ira contacted me, said he had an idea. We met at Starbucks. We wrote down a bunch of things. We spitballed some names.
Mm-hmm.
And Radio Labyrinth ultimately came from an idea that Ira had, because when you go into Google and you type radio and you're looking for Radio Lab, the podcast, you see Radio Labyrinth sometimes pop up. So there you go. It shows up. But Jeff wanted to do one too. So the three of us got together.
Yeah, I've been trying to get Tim to do a podcast since podcasting started. Yeah.
Well, you guys are old school friends from way back in the day. How are you and Ira connected?
Ira,
back in that 2015.
Ira had worked at some radios. I think he worked at WGST.
Okay.
He did board hopping and commercials, I think. And he knew Eric and he knew Larry. So mm-hmm. a couple times he was invited in to watch the show, and I think primarily at Rock 100.5, because that's where I remember meeting him.
Yeah.
But I think I probably treated him like a dick because I didn't know him.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that he was coming. It's one of those things when you're a producer of a radio show and one of the hosts brings one of their friends by or somebody that you don't know and you're not cleared on it. It's not a power thing. It's just like, I don't know what's going on. So I probably was a dick, but we've talked about it before. But that's how we knew Ira. And I knew Steph, who I met in, I think, 2005 or 6. She came in and did a regular guy's bit
mm-hmm.
back at 96 Rock. So, and then she and I stayed in touch over the years through when she was doing stand-up comedy. We've always talked about TV and stuff. So my idea... And
we'd run into her at cons all the time, too.
And so we had an idea. It's like, why don't we have Steph do something on the podcast? She was listening. And she was doing these minutes or whatever.
Yeah, the 60-second Steph.
Yeah, that's right. And we were like, well, why the fuck? Just come on the show.
Yeah.
And then, but you go through this because I have these ideas. I want to do this and I want to do these fake things and I want to do, and I have all these ideas. And, you know, we brought Autumn into the show and Steph left and then came back, and Ira left as a permanent fixture, but he comes back and I love that. But,
and Autumn went off on her own with her own podcast.
Well, she did, and that's not
I mean, like, there's no bad blood or anything.
No. Here's the real thing. She had, she was real busy in December, mm-hmm. in November. That's when it was, November and December. And I did a show. It was just me, Steph, and Jeff. And we just talked and talked. And it was like, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, you know, this is the show. This is the meat of the show. It's the three of us talking and arguing sometimes or whatever about the show. I don't need to do all these extraneous bits.
Autumn pitched in really well when she was
here.
She
did. She was great.
She had a hard time finding time to do it.
I mean, she's not in the state. She has two kids.
Not in the state.
No, she's in Maryland.
Yeah, she lives in Maryland.
Yeah.
Would you Skype her in, or she just, why would she be here in Atlanta?
Well, because she's from Atlanta, and she used to be an intern on the regular guys. So she's, along with me, she's known Eric for 20 years.
All right.
And so she was actually a part of Eric Von Hessler's first podcast.
Yeah, after Eric got fired, him and Autumn had a podcast.
Yeah,
together.
Autumn, Eric, Greg, English Nick.
Man, podcasting is so much fun. My goal when I was doing my podcast was to try to do like a morning radio. I really enjoy
that's what I want this to be.
I
think it's like
that. Where you have a skit or you have this thing that you do, because you guys do that stuff.
Yeah.
But with me, I didn't have a regular enough format or team or who my guest was going to be. So it was very hard to come up with, all right, and this week, let's do this, you know, gag bit.
Right.
And then I have to explain the whole thing to this brand new person who may not give a shit about it.
Right, right.
And I'm like, I just wanted it to be fun to listen to,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily educational, but a fun nerd thing to listen to.
And I wanted, and still do want, Radio Labyrinth to be something that listeners who know me from the regular guys and from the Von Hessler Doctrine can listen to it and get some of the voices and get some of that. But also, you know, the side of us where we talk about the things we like on TV and in cinema.
And you're not selling anything, really. Like,
no.
You're not, there's nobody saying, you can't say that. You can't talk bad about that.
Right.
You know, which is not exactly what you get with Good Morning Atlanta or all these.
No, they're all commercial.
Fake morning show and fake TV shit in the mornings.
Right.
No offense to the
woman. No. No offense to what?
To your wife.
Oh, she's a reporter.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the morning news stuff.
I know. I know. You will turn on ABC News in the morning, and it's Good Morning America, and it's just plugging all the shit Disney owns.
My thing was, like, let's say we've got Paul Rudd on the show. And you're like, oh, shit, Paul Rudd, I want to hear about him. All he's there to do is plug his next thing and then like, all right, next, we're going to be cooking some omelets with so-and-so.
Yes.
And you're like, well, I want to hear what is Paul Rudd like? Like,
there's
I like
no depth
that
to
part.
That. Yeah, you're right.
And that's what I wanted to do with a podcast. It just didn't happen. But enough about the podcast. Just look for that shit in 2020. Brian Silverbacks is coming back to the air.
And like we've been saying, I just want to ask you, you were at our live event, right?
The one that was
at the Relapse,
where we closed the Relapse Theater. Yeah,
it was our fault they shut down. Buddies with Matt.
Yeah, Matt Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a small world. Matt Parker was an intern and a part-timer who worked for me at 96 Rock and Dave FM when I was in the marketing department. And it was cool to see him. So tell him I said hello.
Yeah, well, you said hello when we were there. Like, he was like, how do you guys? So I had to give him, like, on the ride home, here's how we got to know each other, blah, blah, blah. But it was fun. Matt had gone to the Art Institute and was trying to do something creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was getting a film degree, and that's when he started interning with you guys, when he dropped out of SCAD because it was only in Savannah at the time.
Right.
He moved back up to Atlanta and was trying to get into the – because he's got a voice. He's got that – dude, he's got a great radio voice.
I know.
I don't know about the personality. Like, I don't know if the personality would fit, but I've done podcasts with him and stuff. Dude, he's great.
Yeah, and he knows what he's talking about. Yeah. So. Hi, Matt, if you're listening. Get him to listen to this show.
Yeah, he's big into the board games, man.
Board games.
Like Dungeons & Dragons. Not so much Dungeons & Dragons, but like that type of tabletop gaming.
Yeah, tabletop gaming,
like,
is huge.
Nemesis, I think, is the one he's always talking about.
Do you play games anymore, Jim?
No.
Tabletop. I used to love those. I like those better than the card
games.
Oh,
dude, he's building tables now. He's thinking about, he's building like $1,000 tables and trying to sell them.
Nice.
They got a big thing up at Dr. No's that they play board games all the time. But
every comic book shop does it now.
Yeah.
It's the only way to make money is a comic book shop.
To go in and hang out.
Because otherwise, you just got a bunch of people there playing games. So when your comic book shop sells those booster packs or has those contests and stuff, that's the only reason comic book shops can stay open, in my opinion, is because of the gaming side of that business.
Yeah, because people just go in and get their pulls and leave.
Yeah. Nobody, comic book shops, if they was just sold on comic books, couldn't stay open.
Right.
Especially with all the online stuff.
Okay, I'm looking at your biography.
Oh, where'd you find this?
Jeff.
Oh, so this is old school.
Yeah.
Back when I had no hair.
So you... have done an awful lot of comic book covers and art that you bring with you to events and sell, and you've done a ton of work for Upper Deck and Topps.
Mm-hmm. I stopped doing Topps stuff because they're weird. But
okay,
I still
tell
do.
Me about it. Now, Panini owns Upper Deck, right?
Oh, shit, I don't know.
Okay.
I have
From the baseball card angle.
I don't know much about the baseball card angle, but I am working on two sets of trading cards for Marvel. Like, what they do is they send me some blank cards. I draw some characters on them, and then they'll randomly put them into packs of cards.
Right, and they're valuable because you have one-of-ones and signed.
I saw one of my cards sold online for $195 or something like that.
What, on eBay?
Yeah, someone had found it,
and
then it was resold it on eBay, but it was purchased. Like, it wasn't just for sale. It was purchased, and it was like $190 somebody spent on it.
Damn.
And then
you didn't get any of that, but it's still cool, right?
Well, I sold it to the guy for $50 because I know which card it was.
Okay.
And then there's another card that I sold to that same guy that resold for $100 like 2 weeks later. So I do that kind of stuff. But speaking of the comic book covers, let's take it down a notch.
Okay.
Let's get real.
Let's get real.
All right, so I started doing comic. I've always done fan art, like draw me Deadpool, draw me Batman, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I was like, all right, well, I got a little bit of talent, so let's do it. All right, you got some money, I'll take it from you. So then it got to be like, I want to do more than just fan art. I want to, instead of drawing all these other people characters, so let's start working my way into the comic book business. So I started drawing covers for comic books that weren't Marvel and weren't DC. They were much smaller independent titles. And, hey, do you want this as a cover? Do you want this as a cover? Just so I can get my name out there.
Right.
And then, boom, Metal Shark Bro happened.
Yeah.
So Metal Shark Bro was a book that I saw that was coming out from Scout Comics. And it's an anthropomorphic, big-ass punk rock shark. So I was like, ooh, I want to draw a cool shark. So I drew the shark. I sent it to the Metal Shark Bro Facebook page. And they said, oh, that looks great, but we can't use it because we're full. Like, we don't have any more room. The publisher, Scout Comics, won't let us put any more covers out. I said, all right, well, no problem. Then, like, the next day, Scout Comics messaged me. Hey, we like that cover you did of Metal Shark Bro and posted online. Can we use that? Mm-hmm. So then it becomes an official comic book cover for the Metal Shark Bro. And they liked it so much that they said, all right, we've got this other book we want you to do a cover for. We've got this other book. So last year, I did 7 covers for comic books from Scout Comics.
That's great. Did they pay you?
You got to make some sacrifices. They pay you. I'm not a hard negotiator. I know that for me, I need to sacrifice a little bit of my pocket money for the established credit.
Right.
And I know people say don't work for exposure or whatever, but if I'm working and I'm the one deciding.
In this day and age, you have to work for exposure. There's just no way around it.
Well, you have to find a nice balance.
You do, but to get started this day and now.
Well, Brian made the sacrifice.
Good.
Did they give you any books?
And that's how I get the money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is when I do the cover for them and the book comes out, they'll send me 50 copies of that book and I can sell them for $100 a piece if somebody's willing to pay it. But that's my payment. Or that was my payment for doing the work.
Right.
Is here's some copies. And then when I do my shows at Dragon Con or whatever, I have those books for sale and I'll say, all right, yeah, $20. I'll sign it for you. You go on. So you figure 50 times 20, that's kind of like my paycheck.
Right.
And then I can also sell the original art since I draw by hand.
Yeah.
I have this original art piece that somebody may want to purchase from me for $300 or so. And now because it's a legitimately published art piece.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it more desirable to people.
Right.
Instead of just saying Brian drew Deadpool, Brian drew the cover of this book. Oh, shit, that's a real thing. Let me buy that.
That is great.
So that transformed into this is going to be the first time anybody's hearing this big time. You ready for some news, man?
Yes.
I started writing my own comic book.
Okay.
And it's about a big turtle man, big snapping turtle man.
Yeah.
And so I was writing, I was getting ready to do a Kickstarter and everything. And Scout Comics says, bring it over here.
Yeah, keep it tight, baby.
There's Ira talking about keeping it tight.
Oh, God.
It's what we do here on the podcast. Hey, guys, guess what? We are creating content for you right on Patreon.
It's a bonus content for you guys where you are going to pick what we talk about. Just give us the topic and, you know, crazy Don Imus over here.
Yeah, just give us a topic and we'll just riff on it like a Don Imus does on everything.
Whatever it is you want to talk about.
You could talk about Star Wars. You could talk about Ray Donovan. You could talk about The Wire Season 2, the one with the boats.
You can ask us questions that you've always wanted to know.
Yeah, does Tim Andrews like to watch The Wire? Does Ira Malkin hate Adam Sandler? Find out more. We'll talk about Ira. Why do you hate? No, seriously. Tell us what you want us to talk about. Send us suggestions.
If you're a Patreon, you can do it right there by sending a message to us or posting it on our wall on the Patreon page, which, by the way, is patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And even Ira, I mean, if you have a game, suggest a game idea, and then maybe we'll do that and play it. But that would be more. No, it wouldn't be. It'd be
no, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be cool. Fuck
Very
y'all.
Cool. We'll
Contribute
do that.
Contribute to content. Why not?
Yeah.
All right. Contribute to content, and hopefully we'll have more of Ira in 2020, season 5.
This will be a 20-minute segment that's
20 to 30.
Only, well, yeah. And it'll only be available to the whatever level Patreon.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell that is.
Yeah.
What is it? I don't know.
He's figuring it out.
He's going to figure it out.
So it's a $10.
Okay. At the $10 level, mm-hmm. there'll be this 20-minute extra of shit
yeah.
for you to listen to.
Look, you're canceling Disney Plus, so you can afford $10.
All right. So make sure you check it out. This starts as soon as possible. We're going to try to do it before Steph gets back. But anyway, this is a promo, and you know, we're going to record a live one every week. So bye. Where is Scout Comics?
They're in Fort Myers, Florida.
Okay.
They're big time, though.
They're working their way up. They've got a lot of properties that are being optioned for television and movies.
Nice.
One of the things that they do is all the properties that they have have partial ownership of, because they don't have full ownership. You sign an agreement when your title goes with them to split the royalties, and then they shop every one of those titles every year to Hollywood people looking for TV shows and stuff. That's part of what they do. That's part of what they're bringing to the table. So if they sign your title, let's say you got a guy you call Knife Hands, and then they're like, hey, Tim, we want to do Knife Hands. Not only are they going to publish your book and you're going to make a little bit of money, but you're also you're crossing your fingers that when they go shop at Buena Vista or Miramax or something, that those guys option your thing for, you know, or turn it into a movie, and then that's when you get the real money.
The only comic book character that I've ever wanted to, well, there's two, Mothball Man and Hatchet Head.
Dude, there's a market for it. I guarantee
them
you.
And drawn them and drawn. But yeah, but I can't draw like that. I can't draw a comic
book. There's people that are. And like, I can't draw that well. So here's what I did.
What do you mean you can't draw that well?
Well, I can't. There's a certain skill that it's goes into damn drawing
awesome
panel
to
stuff.
Me. Right. Old panels, yeah.
The interior art. I can make
a sketch
cool
a face
one
and that's it. I mean, go ahead.
So I hired a guy at $25 a page to kind of just draw the figures to fit the script. Like if somebody was punching, somebody was sitting down watching TV, he would kind of just draw the rough
so
stuff
he's like
out there.
Penciling?
Not even full pencils.
Okay.
Because he wouldn't even draw eyeballs and shit on it. He was just giving me, he knows how to tell a story and he knows how to make cohesive comic book pages.
Right.
So he had my story and sent me back those, what I call just layouts. And then I drew all on top of that. So once that was done, and then I colored my own work because I couldn't pay anybody to do it. So I was like, all right, dude, this is good to go. I'm about to do a Kickstarter and try to make the world know that it's happened. And then Scout says, hey, man.
That's so cool.
Just bring it on over here and forget that Kickstarter shit. We're going to – how do you feel? And you ready for this? How do you feel about May 2020
nice.
Hitting shelves? Fuck yeah,
well,
man.
Well, we're all going to need to get a copy of number one signed.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. But in the meantime, I got these pins for you. So these are pins, like the hard enamel pins.
Look at this dude.
Loggerhead. He's a big-ass turtle man.
Yeah.
He's like, basically, if you were to take a mean Incredible Hulk or a mean Ninja Turtle,
yeah.
but make him the size of the Incredible Hulk. But in the comic book that I did for him.
Well, hang on a minute. This would be an animated show on TV or something cool like that. It'd be fucking cool as shit. Go ahead.
Dude, Metal Shark Bro. I know you haven't read it yet, but Metal Shark Bro, if that ever turns into a cartoon, is going to be the jam. But this guy is... kind of like there's a rumor about him, like Sasquatch and what's the Chupacabra? Like people have heard about the tale of Loggerfoot, but is he real or is he not? And why is he in the woods? So this one
Loggerhead. Oh, okay.
It's only a 22 page story, so it's a one shot story. You get this full complete one comic book, no continuation, just kind of introduction, and it's a soft way for me to get my feet wet into the world of comic books. As a creator.
That is so cool, man. Congratulations.
So I'm really excited, dude.
Yeah, no doubt.
I haven't even gotten a chance to post online yet that Scout has said yes. Because the contract's supposed to be here either this afternoon or Monday.
Wait until you sign it, and then you can like, yeah.
Oh, dude, my dick is about to explode.
Not in here, please.
I've been the day he called me, which I think was Wednesday night, I did not go to sleep because I was just like, dude, I can do T-shirts. I can do this. What if I do this? And so now I've even started talking to other creators that own content at Scout, like other books. And I'm like, hey, can Loggerhead team up with your guy? And let's write a little story about my guy teaming up with your guy. And let's fucking do it.
Oh.
And then, so you know what he said? He said, yes. So now Loggerhead and Star Bastard are going to be in a comic book together.
Star Bastard?
Star Bastard is basically if you took Peter Quill from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
But he's Kenny fucking Powers.
That's awesome.
So we got to get some of these comic books.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy, man. But so that's what's going on.
I started buying them again last year, and not a lot, because if left to my own devices, I'm spending $300 a month.
Dude, I hear you, man. But definitely try some. Scout doesn't do superheroes, so you're not going to find superhero stories.
Good.
And when you buy from Scout, it's usually at 95% of their titles are a fixed run. Like it's not ongoing forever. It's like here's six issues and that story's done. Based on the success of that story, we may do another six issue story, but you'll never find like issue 700 of Superman. Like it'll never get that far. It's just little blocks of stories. So there's no huge investment to the reader. If you want a good vampire story, here's a good vampire story. It's only four issues. Check it out. Or stuff like that.
Great, because, I mean, you can follow that.
Yes. It's easy to digest.
Right. Here's a Mothball Man and a Hatchet Head. Just a quick sketch. Now, these go back to eighth grade. Mothball Man was M&M Man.
All right.
Because it changed that because, of course, you can't call it that. We had a raid, the raid can. Hatchet Head is based on our ninth grade algebra teacher. Yeah. Algebra teacher, Mr. So-and-so. And we called him Hatchet Head because his head looked like a hatchet.
Like a legitimate, like profile hatchet?
Yeah, when he looked from the side, he looked like an axe.
Did he have like the hair just kind of swooping off in the back?
No.
It looked like he was wearing a bike helmet when he was just walking around.
The origin of a Hatchet Head, the character, is he was initially a good guy. but I made him a bad guy later. When
he's a hatchet. You can't be right. Not a lot of good guys run around looking like murder weapons.
But Mr. So and So rode his bike to school every day, so you would see him going down the road on his bike, and he got bit by, or yeah, I don't know how he became Hatchet Head, but
bit by radioactive hatchet.
Yeah. But he had this thing with him called the auto stumper, and when he wanted to change into Hatchet Head, he threw it in front of his bike. The bike would hit it, and he'd fly in the air and become Hatchet Head.
Oh, so during the flips, he would transform?
Yes. And so his body wouldn't collapse. And then
that's pretty thought out stuff.
The Hatchet Head guy, or I'm sorry, the Mothball Man guy, is a guy whose arms or legs were chopped off, and his name is Frank M. M&M Man.
He looks like a chomp from Mario.
A chomp from
the little wrecking balls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he's an M&M. I mean, he's a round guy inside of a shell.
Yeah.
And those arms are bionic. I have a whole fucking story. But
I did too. We did one Tampon Man and Applicator Boy.
I want to see that. Did you draw it?
Well, we sold it.
Really?
We sold it in probably 2005 to Shadowlight Pictures because they were like, so we came up with a script. We had all the supporting characters. Drew everything. And then they just never turned it into anything. So we got our $1,000 because I didn't know any better. So I got $1,000 and I said, if you ever make it anything, I get 3% of whatever the royalties are. So,
well, if it had made something.
There's still a chance. They still own it, but I don't even know if the company's defunct yet or not.
All right. So let's pivot from unless you have more to talk about.
My update stuff? Comic books. No.
All right. So you're not doing the Kickstarter and you're going to Scout Comics, and right, it's going to be May 2020.
Yeah. But I'm going to, in the meantime, I'm going to have what's called an ashcan version of it. Are you guys familiar with
that? No, I'm not.
An ashcan is like to familiarize you with the topic that's coming out.
Like a zero issue kind of thing.
It'll have like 3 pages of the art from the book, a little summary. And for mine, it's also going to have fan art. I've been acquiring some fan art of people that have been drawing Loggerhead. So I have a fan art page. So it's kind of like here's a little preview of what's coming out in May. So it's only 4 pages, and it's like a little taster to try to get you to want to do it. Ooh, we heard that one.
I don't know what he's doing. I had a question for you.
Yeah.
I've looked at a lot of your artwork.
Okay.
Now, do you color with computer or do you color with digital ink?
And he does it live on Facebook sometimes.
Yeah, I did one this morning at like 5 o'clock.
Now, is it hard to color? Can you do ink?
I use markers. Like when I'm at a show or like the cover that I did for Jeff, the Green Lantern.
I
had to use markers.
But okay.
There's just certain things that you can do with the digital stuff that I just don't have the time to figure out how to do with markers.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the feathering and the layer, like it's supposed to be quick, fast, in a hurry. There's no
and gradients too. It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Digital.
So digital is so much. And I can erase. Let's say I drew Mothball Man, mm-hmm, right? And I sent it to you. If I colored that by hand and I made him blue, then you're like, shit, man, I want him
yellow,
red.
Bitch.
Yeah. But digital, it's just a matter of, you know, taking that layer and telling it to shift.
Right.
A hue shift, and now he's yellow, and I don't have to, like, it's easier to make adjustments.
Okay.
That's too dark. That's too green. Shit like that.
I have some drawing applications in which you can color on, mm-hmm, on the tablet, but I'm not educated in how to do it, so it's just trial and error for me. Can you recommend? I have one more drawing question before we move on.
Yeah,
but can you recommend? Like, is there an online tutorial that'll show you how to do that, or is it go to YouTube and figure it out?
It kind of depends on what you are you using. Procreate.
I have Procreate on my wife's
iPad.
Which
one are you using the most?
I don't remember the name of the program. It's on my pad.
All right. So Jeff just showed me that he bought a comic book called
Money Shot.
Money Shot. And the colorist that
a lot
colored,
of white in that.
I couldn't tell. The pages were all stuck.
Yeah.
But so in that comic book, the guy that colors that comic book has a huge array of tutorials online. And that's where just watching his free tutorials, mm-hmm, is where I learned to color the way that I do.
So have some patience. Figure it out.
But he uses Procreate.
Okay.
He
that's
uses
a great
Photoshop.
Program.
And he uses... But Photoshop, for me, my go-to is Clip Studio Paint.
Okay.
Which can be Mac or it can be Windows, but it can't be on like a device. Like you can't get it on your iPad.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it on your FirePad or whatever. Like it has to be on a computer with a full operating system.
Okay.
But There's plenty of tutorials. So K. Michael Russell, it's called Coloring with
Kurt. Kurt Michael Russell is the dude, colored.
Yeah. Colorist. And he is phenomenal.
Now, the other question I had about drawing, I see I got some drawing sketch kits for Christmas.
Ooh, wow.
Two, you know, with all the pencils and the shading and the charcoal and all that. And I see, I follow a lot of people who do art on Instagram, drawings and whatnot.
That's awesome.
Comic book
Everyone
covers.
Else out there should also do that. Follow artists and support creativity.
Real quick, what's your Instagram?
Silverbacks, Silver B-A-X-I-N-K. But I encourage anybody that just wants to brighten up their feed, follow creative people and artists, and just scroll through and you'll be like, oh, shit. Like,
I mean, how many donuts can you look at? And how many
here's my nachos.
Here's my meals. Yeah.
But it, nothing against nachos. But.
No, I mean, I love donuts and I love nachos. But what's the blue pencil they use before they draw?
I just got asked this question the other day. So the idea behind that is non-photo reproductive blue.
Okay, keep going.
So this means that you can draw your kind of sketchy lines with this pencil, and then when you go to make a photocopy, they won't show up.
Or scan it?
The scanner picks it up.
Okay.
But here's the thing, though. We live in an age with layers, digital layers. So what you can do is you can tell Photoshop, ignore everything blue and just, like, you have to scan it with all those lines.
Yeah.
But then when you open it in Photoshop, you can say, hey, Photoshop, ignore all the blue and just show me the black lines that I drew.
Right. So after you scan it, you open it in Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. See this? Thank you. This is, I'm not paying
for
this
lesson. So the original thing was non-photo reproductive.
So you could
blue.
Take a picture of it because that's how they used to do it, right?
I never got it to work. I knew that I was like, I want to be cool like everybody else. So I ordered some non-photo reproductive, and every time I scanned it in, there they are smiling at me. I was like, well, fuck, what am I supposed to do now?
My grandfather used to.
It was back when you would take a photograph.
Yeah.
And that's what you used to do.
Yeah. My grandfather was an artist for the Elmira, New York newspaper, the Star Gazette. He drew political cartoons. Mm-hmm. And when they couldn't get a photo, he would draw the person, or, you know, or Mickey Mouse or anything like that.
Yeah.
And he was also a photographer, and that's how he got interested in photography, was working in that department, taking the picture. Like,
well, when you would have to do color separations and you want something to be black, you would have to make it either in black or red,
because you would
take an actual photograph of it, make a piece of film, and then cut that film out on goldenrod.
Dude, that's a lot of steps. Holy shit.
Jeff's been in printing so long, he worked with Gutenberg. Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but it just sounds funny.
He invented the printing press.
I took graphic arts in high school, and I graduated in 94.
Right. Oh.
So when I graduated, I was cutting the red stuff, the red litho paper, and like it was very, very rudimentary
in 94,
like how we had to do the stuff.
Yeah. Were you still doing what? Well, we took that glass. We took graphics in high school. The metal piece that you had that you would put your...
Mm-hmm.
Put the thing that you did on, and then you would run it. Dunk, dunk,
yeah,
dunk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You'd have to do one per color.
Yeah, and we did screen
printing. So you'd have to have registration lines and all
that. Yes,
now I can just take that shit to Kinko's about print this shit. Right.
I did two notepads. I did one for my brother.
Notepads, yes, sir.
It said, you have to put the glue on it. I did it for my brother for Christmas or whatever. It was Jason Lives.
And I put Jason Voorhees?
Voorhees' face on it. And then I did another one with Jason, and I drew a guy playing baseball. And that's the one I gave him. Jason Lives I did for myself because I was obsessed with those movies. And then the other one was the Yankees logo. That was offset three color. None of them lined up.
Trial and error.
Yeah.
Boy,
you had to print, if you wanted like 200, you had to print 1,000.
Yeah.
And then sit there and bang on the press until you got it into registration. It was
But I really liked doing screen. That was so cool.
Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about with cutting the shit out of the red, because that was like an amber... You film know, that you come in
this. Oh, yeah. I'm familiar. Designing, I design for screen print. So I know that when you do screen print artwork, it's this one shade of one color. You don't get to gradient, like whatever. So when you design in Photoshop or whatever you're using, you have a layer per color.
Right.
And you can't, all you can do, so it's very different to color. When you know it's going to be screen printed, without, but they do make software. One click, boom! It separates your whole shit.
Everything
you
pay
like $500 for that program.
Right.
Shit.
Speaking of Jason Voorhees, though,
yes,
you remember Tony that came in with me?
Yeah,
and he was doing the film. I think at that point we were doing Playtime's Over.
Yeah,
so he started doing a sequel to one of his other movies, and this one's called Dead by Midnight. Why to Kill? Because his first one was just called Dead by Midnight 11 Central.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the sequel, but during the filming of this sequel, I got to hang out with Kane Hodder.
Yeah, nice.
Kane Hodder, the Jason Voorhees.
Not the original.
Not the original, but the one most famous.
Right, for playing
him. He invented the head. The head nod.
Yeah. He's the one that got the sleeping bag and bashed it up against the... but so I got to hang out because they were filming a section and Kane Hodder was there. And I said, Tony, let me just hang out for the day. So I didn't really have a job because I just did the artwork for the shirts that they were wearing for this part of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So I helped them design the logo and all that stuff. Well, not the logo, but the artwork for the shirt. And I was like, let me come hang out. So me and Kane were just sitting there bullshitting like all day in between takes and stuff. Dude,
that's so cool.
I get to do some pretty cool shit.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
He's a cool
dude.
Doesn't
pay too. Very well.
We're going to take a break and then we're going to come back and talk with Brian about his really, really cool news regarding a show that's coming up on HBO.
Tomorrow.
Sunday.
Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Atlanta Pizza and Mural, 1565 Georgia 138 in beautiful Conyers, Georgia. Atlanta Pizza and Mural is a longtime local favorite, serving the best pizzas, gyros, Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, and Greek salads in a relaxed, casual setting. Since 1983. Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/ATL Pizza. Interact with other diners. Check out the menu and even start your order. Or AtlantaPizzaEuro.com.
I'm sorry.
Hey,
Glory. No. You need to go.
What's he doing with him?
I'm as baffled by this conflicting evidence as you are. Terry murdered a child. Everything he does after that is like he's begging us to catch him. What kind of criminal does that?
He didn't do it.
The evidence and the counter evidence, I'm struggling with that.
Where are you going with all of this?
Is that Terry Maitland, 70 miles away? The same day, the same time as Frankie Peterson was murdered.
A human being cannot exist in two realities at the same time.
Why didn't kill that kid, Ralph?
When the facts are filled with coincidences, don't dismiss those coincidences.
I have no tolerance for the unexplainable.
Well then, sir, you'll have no tolerance for me.
All she's asking is that we keep an open mind.
You keep your mind open. I'm just going to look for facts, evidence, dumb cop shit like that.
I think you should drop the investigation. If you don't, I feel like something very bad is going to happen.
Something bad's already happened.
If you can't get yourself to really believe, then you're a danger to everyone else.
When I was a kid, I didn't believe in anything. Not God, not the devil. But now I believe there's something else out there. It was worse than I ever imagined.
All right, so tell us about this show.
Are we really taking a break?
No.
Did we really take a break?
You can take a break if you want.
No,
to.
This was just where the commercials go, boy. You rookie.
No.
No. So, yeah, there's a show coming out on HBO, and it's based on Stephen King
novel.
Yeah, I don't read, so I didn't know if it was a novel or a short story.
It's an audiobook, man. It's really
good. It's called The Outsider.
Yeah, that was one of the most recent physical books I've read.
Well,
it's good.
During the film, I got booked for multiple days on this show. This show filmed, I think, for probably four to 5 months.
Okay. In Atlanta?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, different parts of Atlanta. So I know it ended in August. That was the last. They were like, if you don't hear from us after August, you know, don't worry about shave. You know, you can keep your, you can grow your goatee out or whatever, so you look different.
Right.
So so it was about 4 months. I worked on the show. Out of that 4 months, I think I probably worked on the show for about 14 days, like 14 to 16 days of actual like showing up on set.
What's the story, Jeff?
There's a guy, he's a high school baseball coach.
Yeah.
And he's seen killing a kid.
All right.
Everybody sees him, and he absolutely did it, but he didn't do it.
Okay.
Now, yeah, you don't want to spoil it because it's I had no idea until maybe like day 10 that there was even a sci-fi element into what I was involved in.
Really?
Yeah, like I just thought this was like because I worked with the same team on Ozark because Jason Bateman was, you know, directing that, and he was one of the characters in that. And this is also a Jason Bateman led project.
So he's a producer?
He directed the first two episodes.
He's in it.
Oh, yeah. I see that he's in it from the trailer.
But yeah, so when I showed up on day one, because I believe I showed up on the first day of filming. Like, it was the first day they filmed anything.
Right.
And I saw Jason Bateman. I was like, oh, shit. Like, I had just seen him recently when I was doing Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
But I only did season one. But I was like, oh, you're still here. And it's all the same people. And I was like, oh, this is cool. He had long, shaggy hair.
Yeah.
And then here he is now. This time he's directing.
Okay.
I was like, oh. So I get to – so I play a police officer, a county police officer in this show.
And then you have speaking?
Of course I don't have speaking. I'm a jabroni. I'd like to, but I don't – speaking of that, I need to get with Josh Warren.
Josh Warren, Radio Labyrinth guest.
I need to get with him and take some of that. I think if I brushed up on my improv, I think I could start getting some real roles. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a complete idiot, so I think if I have some sort of credibility under my belt, but I just – I'm a broke-ass artist, so I can't afford Josh's classes.
But you're you could probably work something out, I'm sure. You're an artist. He's an artist. Artists like to exchange
but
things.
But I do want to – at some point, I want to start doing improv and checking stuff out. But so there's speaking lines.
Not just Josh, not just Sketchworks. There's a bunch of different improv groups in Atlanta where you can take classes. You just have to find one that's going to work with your schedule.
I want to feel comfortable.
Exactly. You got to feel comfortable.
I want to be there with a buddy. I want to have – I don't want to go in there. I'm very shy if I don't know anybody in the room.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I would reach out to Josh, or I'd reach out to Sketchworks, because those guys are laid back. They're gonna be – they'll work with you, and I don't think you'd be intimidated.
Josh has a lot of stuff going on where maybe they could use some artwork.
Yes, exactly.
You could trade them.
Yeah, but I mean, improv isn't hard.
So we're getting there, though.
It isn't easy.
No. It's a skill, and I understand that.
And once you learn the bones, once you learn the roadmap or whatever, the outline to doing it, you can ignore all the shit they tell you. Like, well, don't work blue.
It's just like drawing. Yes. You have to know the rules to break them. I have to know where the correct anatomy is and the correct stuff before I can start exaggerating and making caricatures. Nobody can do caricatures without already knowing how a face works. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you got to know the rules to break them. But that's something I'm interested in doing.
Mm-hmm.
But so I play – I never – in the 14 days that I worked on this film or this show, I didn't get to see any sci-fi coolness. And almost every day I worked, I was in the precinct.
Okay. So how did you get the role?
The same way, man. You just go to Central Casting?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Facebook groups and a lot of Facebook pages that every day they're like, hey, we're casting for this. Send us your
headshot.
Selfie. It's not even professional headshots.
Send us a selfie.
Send us a profile, a waist up, and something that shows us, you know, they only want three pictures. And then you send them your sizes. They put them in a big-ass stack. And then most of the time, the agency will pick who gets calls back. Sometimes the director will want to look through that stack.
God, when I did casting for commercials, I'd have to go to the people store, get a giant stack, look through it, then get reels, watch the reels.
How long ago was that, though?
God. Well, this is 1997.
See, now you can probably just type
2000.
In blue eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
now
yeah.
I got the blue eyes.
No.
And just narrow it down like you're Carvana or some shit.
My boss had the house was in Sandy Springs. So when we did castings, I had to set up one of the front rooms, and people would just come in and read the dialogue. And it was interesting. No way now do you have to do
on
that.
On the couch?
No, there was no casting couch. I wish. A lot of those actresses were cute. Like, especially the one that did the Alice commercials. See, radio stations used to have enough money where they could pay to have a company create a commercial for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would go to the radio station in New York City, would create this campaign, spend $500,000 on
it.
on the production and the buy.
Yeah.
And then you had a shell of stuff that you could go to a Des Moines and go, hey, I have this commercial. We can slap your logo on it, cut out all this other shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's how you made the money. And I did that for, what, 4 years? It was a great company to work for. But now, of course, radio stations either make their own because you can do it on a computer, or why would you advertise? I mean, there's no money for that anymore. But back then, they still advertised on TV.
So do you guys know that they filmed Doom Patrol here in Atlanta too, right?
Yeah.
So there's a I've never watched the show, but there's a big mansion in that show. Have you seen it, one of you?
I saw it.
So that mansion is right next to the quote unquote police precinct.
Okay.
When I showed up on day one, because
where do they shoot it?
I don't remember. I was thinking about it on the way
Conyers,
here.
Conyers, I think.
Conyers?
Yeah.
No, shit no.
No?
I thought it was here
a bunch
in Atlanta,
of Doom Patrols in Conyers.
No, I'm talking about The Outsiders. Or The Outsider.
Well,
not The Outsiders with C. Thomas Howell.
My first day,
the Brat Pack.
I was at a physical location. Like the exterior was supposed to look like a police station,
right?
And it was like 2 feet away from the house that I just spoke about for Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the extras that I was working with were like, "Oh, I did Doom Patrol there last week." Blah blah blah.
It's got to be a cool community. We got to get tapped into that. Talk to more people. Go ahead.
Oh, dude, be careful. There's a lot of jabronis.
Oh, I don't mean jabronis.
No, well, dude, it's got like the ratio is, it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going fishing and trying to catch one that's worth catching.
Mm-hmm.
You got to got all these little brim floating around, but you're really looking for that big ass fish. So just know that there's a lot of jabronis.
Just know the last time I went trout fishing with my granddad, I was all excited. I had a bite and I pulled it out and it was a chub and I was so mad I beat it to death with a stick.
Oh, all
anyway,
right.
Continue.
All right, Pete is all pissed. But yeah, so
fuck them.
But then he ate it anyway.
No, I didn't.
But my first day, I didn't even get used. So I was a cop that was at the desk when the guy was going to check in, because the scene is where Jason Bateman is brought to.
He's arrested and
brought to the precinct. So this is him entering the precinct and the mother of the victim crying out and stuff. I'm one of the cops that's in the room where you. Where you would sign in, like the front desk of the police station.
Right.
So I'm only there when the actress is acting and the camera is not looking at the front desk area.
Right.
And then they flip the camera around. They're like, oh, you're too busy in there. So they made me leave and they just had her ranting and stuff. But on the first day, I never got used. But then almost every day after that, it was a location. Are you guys familiar with the big studio warehouses that are up on 85 by Jimmy Carter?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
That's where they built the police precinct.
Okay.
Inside one of those warehouses. So I didn't know that. And I got the call back and they're like, oh, can you call back? Can you come back tomorrow or whatever day it is? We're going to be up on 85. Is that a problem?
I just wonder where the actors go to eat. There's no place up there to eat.
They bring food trucks.
Catering.
Dude. Yeah.
Yo, good.
Oh, dude, good. God. These plays had Mario's.
Mm.
Mario's is the jam. As far as every production I've been on, if Mario's was there, it was a squared away production.
Let's take a look at some of the cast here. We have, of course, Jason Bateman.
Yes.
You have Ben Mendelsohn, who was in Rogue One. And
Dude, I got some stories about him.
Oh, hang on. And then he was also on that Netflix series with Sissy Spacek that was really good that
right.
people liked, where he was killed and then whatever. You also have Cynthia Erivo. Is that how you say your name?
Oh, I don't know. I
Erivo.
Didn't meet everybody.
Mark Menchana, who was also in,
Ozark.
Ozark, wasn't he?
I don't know. He's a very loud, boisterous individual.
Yeah, he was. He's the guy's dad with the beard, right? Who was sort of gay and he would hook up with.
Ah, yes.
Guy Jeremy Bob from.
Yeah.
What was that show? About the hospital.
See, I didn't get to meet a lot of the people. Like, I only got to meet a couple of the officers.
Mayor Winningham. You got Yul Vasquez. Now everybody knows him. He's one of the gay Puerto Ricans
The Nick. That was the name.
Yeah, he was one of the gay Puerto Ricans that got mad at Kramer on Seinfeld.
You know what? I've never really watched Seinfeld, man. I'm one of those.
It's one
guys.
Of the classic episodes where he wouldn't.
All
wear,
I know is
I don't wear
Nazi.
The AIDS ribbon. You got to put on the ribbon. Derek Cecil. God, he was in. He was in House of Cards. He was the right hand man of the guy that's been. Of Kevin Spacey's right-hand man. So they got a good cast on this show.
Oh, dude, it's
also
phenomenal.
Brian Silverbacks is on it.
I haven't put it on the IMDb yet, but I'm getting there.
You have to do it yourself?
At my level, yeah.
So you have to physically, because I'm not on there and I have credits.
I go in there and put it in there.
I mean, I have one credit for a thing called Stool Grease. But you know...
That just, I don't know what it is.
I voiced a baby that sounded like, you know, sounded like this. And he was doing a commercial for stool grease because he couldn't shit, so he needed school. Anyway.
Yeah, I can show you. I found a tutorial online so I could add my own credits. And as long as the production turned in the names of everybody who was on the project,
mm-hmm.
it'll be fine.
Now, if you're listed in the credits at the end, I would assume that they turned that in.
Probably, but I won't be listed in any of the credits.
All right, tell us your Ben Mendelsohn story.
Well, Ben Mendelsohn, it's not so much a story, but the guy's a character. Uh-huh. First off, I thought I had seen Chainsmokers before, but this guy is killing it.
Like, really?
As soon as they say cut, he is outside hammering down three cigarettes, and they're like, all right, we're ready to go. And then they'll have to go get him, and he'll stomp another one out and come in there and do his scenes. I didn't realize that someone could smoke that much. Like, it's just so it's crazy. But he had with him one of those Bluetooth speakers,
mm-hmm.
like a Beats Bean or whatever it is, a Beats Pod, and all the time just jamming out to to pop music, loud as shit.
Like what kind of pop music?
Like whatever the current pop, like whatever the pop shit is, he is jamming out and just singing and dancing. And then he'll have it going even while like the director's giving directions and stuff,
mm-hmm.
up until it says, all right, you know, they ring that little bell, ring, ring, we're about to start filming, and then he'll turn it off. But he'll like hide it. Like behind a picture or somewhere, and as soon as it goes, he grabs it back and they're jamming out again. The dude's a character, man.
The show I'm thinking of was Bloodline. Yeah, it was Bloodline. That show, and that was a good show. Really slow moving, but a great story. I think probably shot in Florida. But these guys.
But he's a very great guy.
Must be here all the time, all these people.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where. All you got to do is look for them dark SUVs.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They're all getting driven around by the black Escalade crew.
Follow the yellow signs with arrows on them.
Well, yeah, that and
then get thrown out.
There's a lot of those Mercedes vans.
Those big white.
Well, they're white and black, but they're big cargo vans. They're like 20 people.
American Pickers drive.
Yeah. But those are usually how catering is moving around, how the extras are moving around. So if you see those running around Atlanta, and they'll have like a little sticker on the back that's like initials for the production,
mm-hmm.
or a little thing hanging on their rearview mirror. But they're all over the place. Just know that they're probably carrying around some cool people.
So when does The Outsider start, Jeff?
Tomorrow.
It started Sunday.
If this comes out Tuesday, it would have started last Sunday.
All right, so it started Sunday.
I think it's
January
12th. Right?
Yep. 10 episodes. Is it a contained series, Jeff?
Yeah, and they're showing two episodes tomorrow, I think.
So, but it's not going to go to a second season, right? Because it's just based on the book. That's what I mean.
Yeah. It's probably
there's always potential.
Series. Yeah, but you never know what's going to happen.
I think the first two episodes were directed by Jason Bateman.
I read a review for it online, and I got pissed and didn't read the I started reading it, and I said, I'm not going to read any reviews of this. I'm not going to watch any spoilers. I'm just going to watch it because I like the book a lot.
Yeah, the book is really good.
And I know what's going to happen, but I don't care. I want to watch the show because it has good actors in it.
I'll give you a couple of things.
Yeah.
If you're looking for Brian Silverbacks,
mm-hmm.
you're probably just going to see my ass a lot.
Are you naked?
No, but here's the thing. Like, I realized, like, when I was done, when I was, like, on my last day there, I thought to myself, I'm always walking away from the camera.
Yeah.
Or I'm bent over somebody's desk, like, trying to file paperwork. So yeah, I don't think my face will ever make it. Like, I'll just have to recognize my ass. Like, I know that's my ass.
You know what you're going to have to do? When you go do your signings for your comic book covers and your comic books, get a printout of your ass and sign it.
Well, I did a couple of those for when I was on Walking Dead and I had my ear blown off.
Uh-huh.
I freeze framed it and I was like, all right, maybe I'll do a couple of these. But I don't want to get slapped because Walking Dead's pretty strict on shit like that.
I don't know. Everybody I've ever... They
well, like, they, you got to pay to get those legitimate ones, like all them zombie people.
You do?
Yeah. You got to pay Walking Dead to have those.
I guess that makes sense. I guess. Yeah, that does make sense. Whatever.
There might be one scene in this movie that I could... Or in this television show where I can tell you it's me and you may not know it.
Okay.
So there's a lady who's walking into the... There's a detective who's going to be walking into the police precinct and she's on crutches.
Okay.
And then an officer runs in front of her and opens the door for her.
That's
so
you?
He can get in. That's me.
Ah, you're chivalrous.
But she's one of the main characters. She's pregnant and on crutches. And so, but that happened, like, it's all work-related. And
okay.
Then so if you see the feet of a guy running in front of her and opening the door. That's about the best thing I can tell you that's going to be me.
The Outsider, starring Brian Silverback's starring feet my and ass. Not to be confused with The Outsiders. You ever see that movie?
I did.
Love
it. Talking about the kids, right?
Yeah, the old
movie. Yeah. I love that. That's the one where they got in the little... The
gang fight at the end and Matt Dillon gets killed?
Oh, I was
spoiler
thinking,
alert.
You all know better than start a rumble without me.
Are that's Pony Boy.
Yeah, no, he's Dallas. Pony Boy.
No, I'm saying that movie.
Yeah, Pony Boy.
Pony Boy.
Yep.
And everybody famous.
At the time,
movie.
Yeah, it was the Brat Pack.
Yeah.
It's the movie with...
I was thinking of the one with Joaquin Phoenix's brother.
Joaquin Phoenix's brother.
River Phoenix.
Stand By Me. River Phoenix, where they go down the train tracks.
Yeah, but what's the one where they were in... Is that the one where they were in like a ride, like from the carnival? Like the guy had a little carnival ride in his backyard, like a little pod.
God, I don't remember
what
that.
What movie is that? It's
Mosquito
it's like,
Coast?
No. Well, whatever. But so I skipped over this story earlier. So my first day was at the police station, mm-hmm. like the physical police station, so I could have an exterior shot.
Okay.
Then they got the call back. Can you meet us at 85 for the studio? Well, I didn't know that there's more than one studio here. I've never been here before. So, and the signs are not very clear, nor are the directions on the email that I received. So I go to where I see cars parked and I see people walking in. Brian parks his car, acts like you want to act like you've been there before. You can't go, man,
where am I going?
So I walk in and I see this open door and I just walk in and it is a humongous set. And there's basically the whole inside of a mansion, like with columns and spiral staircases and shit built into this.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, shit. I was on Bad Boys 3.
Really?
Like they were filming Bad Boys 3 on the set that was adjacent. So my set was on the other side of the lot.
Okay.
But I just walked into the Bad Boys 3 set and kind of just like looked around.
Anybody say anything to you?
No, I asked. I was like... I'm going to say that this is not The Outsider. Like, no, you got to drive around to the other part of the warehouse. It's in the back. But I got to see, like, there's a big scene in the trailer of Bad Boys 3 where, like, this big living room inside of a mansion is getting shot up. That's the mansion that was inside of this, of where I was. Like, I walked in and I saw all that.
Cool.
So that was pretty cool, but I quickly got out of there.
I like the Bad Boys franchise. Do you ever watch those movies, Jack?
I saw the first one.
Yeah.
Everybody can, I don't want to say suck a dick, but Michael Bay makes some fun movies to watch.
Well, it depends on who he has in them, whether they're good or not. Yeah, they're always visually okay.
Yes, and that's what I like.
Because I've watched all the Transformers movies, even though I know they're shit.
Yeah, they're terrible.
But I enjoy them. Yeah. I like the one with Mark Wahlberg, especially.
Oh, yeah.
I like him, so I'll watch him in it. But the Bad Boys movies are fun because Will Smith and Martin Lawrence are so good together.
Yeah, I'm wondering how this one's going to play out because, for me, 2 didn't have it. Like, they just tried to rely too much on cussing and N-word use, and it felt a little less cool than the first one. And this third one, Martin Lawrence, looks like 2 Martin Lawrences.
Yeah, I know. I saw them doing a press tour, and I was like, wow. Yeah. Martin!
And I'm not mad, dude. I got to get my weight shit under control, too. But you would think, like, productions were like, hey, dude, we're going to get you a trainer and help you out. Or maybe that is helped out. Maybe he was like...
Maybe he was big.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think it'll be fun. It's anything that's, like, the news... Oh. I'm going to save it for my staff pick.
Save it for your staff pick. All right, so if you're a fan of Stephen King, Brian Silverbacks, Jason Bateman, and Ben Mendelsohn.
And good television
that shot right here in Atlanta, or if you don't live in Georgia or Atlanta, down there, across, up, wherever the fuck.
Yeah.
And if you live in China, drill through. Anyway, it is called The Outsider on HBO. Not The Outsiders with C. Thomas Howell. It's The Outsider.
It's airing Sundays on HBO.
Right, and it started on this past Sunday, the 12th. Brian, that's awesome. So let's
a lot of good stuff, man.
Get all your plugs out. I mean, we'll hit them again, but no. Hit your social media.
Just type in Brian, Bryan.
Okay.
Silverbacks, Silver BAX, into any search engine for whether it's Instagram. I'm sure. Okay. I mean, you could ask Jeeves. I don't know.
Is that still around? DuckDuckGo.
But you type that in, and you'll get to whatever platform you want to find me on. I want to find his T-shirts. I want to find his like even in search engines for podcasts,
mm-hmm.
you could type in Silverbacks, and boom, there's my podcast.
Oh, and we'll show up.
Or my when I'm on your show,
mm-hmm.
since you guys tag me in there, then you could just so anywhere you type in Silverbacks, it's pretty unique.
Sweet.
you can find anything you need.
All right, we're going to come back and do staff picks.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, guys, here's another one of Radio Labyrinth's awesome sponsors, Bailey Tree Care LLC in Gainesville, Georgia. You can contact Nick Bailey at 770-530-9421 or Jason Chappell at 404-234-2599. Bailey Tree Care. They are Northeast Georgia's premier choice for high-quality tree care services at affordable prices. Their tree care experts bring an excellent safety record and over 10 years of experience in the industry. Bailey Tree Care specializes in residential products and offers free estimates for all your tree service needs. Residential tree care, certified arborists and tree climber, tree trimming and pruning, tree removal, stump grinding and removal, shrub trimming, pruning, underbrush clearing, and mulch and firewood sales. Safety, professionalism, and affordability. Call them today to discuss your tree care need. That's Bailey Tree Care, LLC.
77 Sunset Strip.
77 Sunset Strip.
77 Sunset Strip.
Co-starring Edward Burns.
All right, so staff picks this week. We're pretty light on them for me. I just wanted to go over one real quick. I watched it last night. Do you watch recap videos on YouTube, Brian?
I watch the new rock stars. Do you watch new rock stars?
I haven't heard of them.
They deconstruct nerdy stuff. So every episode of The Mandalorian, he will drop a video and show you all the Easter eggs and shit that just only eagle-eyed people or true believers would know. So any of the nerd movies or Game of Thrones, he does a complete and very thorough, and you're just like, God, it's very... So yes, I do watch them, but usually just new rock stars.
Have you ever heard of Red Letter Media?
I have not.
They've been around for quite a while. Probably best known Star Wars wise is doing the Mr. Plinkett Star Wars reviews. He reviewed the three trilogies. They're funny as shit.
Okay.
I mean, you just find him and watch him.
I will.
And Mr. Plinkett, he's like this guy. And it's a character that one of the podcast hosts does.
Yeah.
But they do a real show. It's called The Mandalorian Review. And they basically talk about the entire series, what they liked about it. And of course, they're nerds and they love it. They're not fans of any of the Star Wars, you know,
the new stuff.
They don't really like that. They're not fans of the prequels either. I mean, they're real diehard.
No, they're the original trilogy.
Yeah. But, you know, they're cool.
Yeah.
I've noticed this trend, and I just want to say this real quick. I follow this guy on YouTube who just bitches about everything. And he's like, oh, this sucks, and blah, blah, blah. And the most recent video that I watch is him talking about Picard, which hasn't even aired yet.
Yeah.
And he's saying, this sucks because so-and-so is doing it, and this sucks. He goes, and they're going to wreck Star Trek. I'm a bigger Star Trek fan than I am Star Wars.
Okay.
You don't know. And Picard, they didn't want to do a soft reboot of Next Generation. This is a future thing. It's going to be more like Logan. But my overall point of this is these guys have made a cottage industry about bitching about shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they do these 30-minute videos that 300,000 people watch where they're just nonstop bitching about how much they hate it. But all they're doing is promoting it. If you hate it, don't fucking talk about it. If you hate it, why do 4 or 5 videos all about the same thing? This guy's done, I'm not going to say who it is because I still like to watch the show, but I think at least by now 15 videos about why Rise of Skywalker sucks. Okay, we get it.
Oh, wow. But you could do one.
You could do one.
You can't go to that. You can't milk the cow forever.
Which brings me back to Red Letter Media. If they don't like something, they don't trash the people. They don't go after the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just say why they don't like it, and they make it funny. So if you want a good recap of all the episodes of Mandalorian that calls back to the old series and shows you not a lot of Easter eggs, that's not what it's about. It's more of a chat. Check out Red Letter Media on YouTube, The Mandalorian Review. That's my staff pick.
Jeff. I will do that.
My staff pick is Medical Police. It's just started on Netflix.
Oh, I just bookmarked that.
Yeah.
Medical Police. What's that?
It's all the people from Children's Hospital.
Okay.
Now they're on Netflix.
All right.
And they're cops and they're doctors. Should be pretty funny.
I bookmarked that so I wouldn't lose it.
Yeah, that's on Netflix. Shit, I'll watch that.
Yep.
I'm almost starting Letterkenny. Just letting you know.
Why haven't you yet? I thought last week you said you were gonna.
Well, I told you that my betrothed.
Oh yeah, she's
was on vacation.
Won't let you watch it.
Well, not that she won't let me. I could go in the bedroom and watch it, but
no,
I don't want.
She'll dig it, dude. If you make her watch it, I'm not saying there's no stuff for guys to watch, but chicks love watching this dude on Letterkenny, this Jared Kiso dude.
Okay.
He is like, I don't know.
All right.
Well, chicks, that's the only thing that, girls that, like Letterkenny
talk
about.
He's at a loss
about.
For words, so it's pretty good.
I know she'll like The Outsider because she likes Ozark and yeah. she liked Bloodline.
So it's the same team from yeah. Ozark, like the production team.
Yeah.
So they just moved from Lake Acworth over to here to do this.
To Lake Lanier.
Yeah.
No, to the lake in Piedmont Park. All right, Brian Silverbacks, you have a bunch of
I don't get around. You guys don't call me in as much as I'd like, so I have to like stockpile some new stuff.
Go ahead.
I'm going to let you know that Zombieland 2 Double Tap was the jam.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, like waiting 10 years to come up with a sequel, like that's it. This was almost better than the first one, but it definitely didn't lose any points.
How about it? Like, I can't even top what you just said. It was the right sequel for a movie like that.
Dude, it was. I love it so much, and I'm glad that it didn't suck. Like, there's a lot of potential to suck there, and
a lot of laughs, and it was great.
Oh, I had a lot of fun. And then I watched this other thing on Netflix that I want to talk. What? Don't Fuck with Cats.
God, that was awesome. Did you watch that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about it.
I thought. I was like, oh, this is
Did you know what it was about?
I kind of did.
Yeah.
Well, only from watching the trailer on Netflix. Like I watched that trailer, and that's all I knew.
I remembered 4chan. They were constantly posting the video, and then if you posted that in a 4chan thread, it would get banned, and then you'd get banned from 4chan.
Oh, wow.
And I just remember all that, but that documentary was like, what the fuck?
How? Dude, it was so addictive. I thought I would just watch one. I was like, oh, I'll watch this kind of whenever. And then I just burned through that entire thing.
Yeah.
But they were like 2 hours long.
I know, but it's like, I can do this.
Yeah, I think you got put me on the spot. I can't think of any more.
Well, you said you had a bunch.
I know, but I probably should have written them down and stopped being a... So Scout Comics, that's one. Check that out if you're into independent comic books.
Okay. Now, again, where can people find you? Just go to a...
Brian with a Y.
Yeah.
Silverbacks with a B-A-X. Oh, and I want to be sure to put this out there. Mr. Williams at Monday Night Brewing.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. It turns out when I was filming Undercover Brother, which was two Thanksgivings ago, I was on set of Undercover Brother 2, which is also on Netflix. You can find me, by the way. It's got my most screen time in any one production.
Okay.
I play the henchman to, what's the guy's name? He's the mayor in Spin City. Bob Bosworth.
Brian Bosworth, the football.
No. Oh, I can't think of
him. Well, if he's the mayor in
Barry Spin Bostwick.
Barry Bostwick.
Barry Bostwick.
Is the main he's the main white guy, bad guy in this movie.
I just gotta yell asshole real quick. Asshole. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
You know, from Rocky Horror. Okay.
So and then I was one of his henchmen, and that was like that little segment in the beginning of that movie. Is probably the most continuous time I've been on screen for anything. So that was real fun. But so I was on set on that production, and I got an email from Mr. Williams. So this is 2 years ago, and he was like, dude, Brian, we heard you on Radio Labyrinth, and we want to work with you and come up with some beverage stuff. Either can art or like a Brian Silverback's brew.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so jacked. I told everybody about it at Christmas. I was like, dude, you'll never believe what's going to happen. And then so a whole year went by, and I heard nothing. And I was like, oh, no. So maybe I'm still in the running. But I just wanted Mr. Williams to know I'm still looking.
No, you hear that, Mr. Williams? I hope you still
listen. Plus, I know that Monday Night Brewing is now one of the sponsors of the show, if I'm not mistaken, right?
They were, but not anymore.
Okay, it was a temporary thing.
But we still like them.
I still like the brew, man.
And it's good stuff.
But no, thank you guys for having me on, man. I really appreciate coming out here.
Well, stick around.
All right, let's do it.
So, hey, everybody, this is Don Imus. I am dead, and I am in heaven. It's 4:01 p.m. for 1 minute past the hour. Quack, quack. So I got to tell you who died this week. We're all going to be on my show. Let's start off with actor Ed Burns. Thanks a lot, Fred, you stupid dope. Ed Burns, you recognize him from Grease. Of course, he was on 77 Sunset Strip. A very short-lived television program, but very iconic. Now, Grease, he's the guy that hosts the rock and roll TV dance. It's supposed to be like Dick Clark. It's supposed to be like Dick Clark. You know that scene in Grease where they all dance and they're high school students and they look like they're 40.
Yeah, that's most of that stuff back in those days.
You remember like Rizzo from Grease? He's like 35 years old. It's like these people are all stupid. They're all dopes and they're staying there at their school. But I would have banged her. Would you bang Rizzo? Got her knocked up?
It depends on how young I was.
I wonder what state she had to fly to get the abortion. Or she just get it like a Holiday Inn. You know, back then it was illegal.
DIY kit.
DIY abortion kit. You had to order from the Sears catalog. You know, you could get a gun from it. Shut up, Fred, you idiot. So he was in Greece, and that's when Shanana was on it. And it's good, if you've never seen Greece, God, who the hell hasn't gone and see it? This guy over here wants to write Grease 3. With a bunch of dead dopes on it. So anyway, rest in peace, Ed Burns. I've never seen so. But anyway, the second person to pass away. This is a sad one. By the way, Ed Burns was 87. Wank, wank. Buck Henry passed away. We've had him on the program before. He is 89 years old, died of a heart attack. He was on Saturday Night Live. Some facts about him before. No, I'm not going to do any facts because that's. He'll be the. Buck Henry will be the topic of this week's Patreon only bonus show. Okay. I guess Jeff and Tim. And maybe this guy over here, this Incredible Hulk looking fellow. Hey, you're a big guy. You remind me of Bo Deedle. Last but not least, I'm sure a lot of other people died, but the most famous person to pass away this week, other than the other two, is Neil Peart, 67 year old, the Rush drummer.
Yeah, I heard about that, dude. My Facebook feed is very, very shocked. It's not my bag of tea.
Yeah, I understand. But, I don't like Rush either. I hate
everybody
that kind of
shit. Everybody's mad.
Why are they mad?
I'm just upset, like all the loss.
So damn you, God, for taking Neil Peart, who's had cancer for 15 years. That's terrible.
Oh, is that the case?
Yeah, he had brain cancer now. That's awful. It's not that like sucks. He had his lungs collapse and replaced with douchebags like I had. You know, those old douchebags that used to hang in the, you know, not the ones you get at the store, but the one your grandma had, you know, with the rubber hose. And
I didn't know that was a douchebag. I thought that every time I saw that in a cartoon, I thought it was just like, oh, somebody's sick. Go get that red floppy. No,
that's what they cleaned out their vaginas with.
Oh, the new candle. What about the new vagina candle?
Well, they got a candle? Why did I die? I wish I hadn't died. I would love a vagina.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, yeah, the goop lady. It smells like her vagina.
Yeah. I don't know.
Smells like Iron Man's. But you don't think her pussy smells like pennies. Anyway, that's either blood or iron. Anyway, I don't want to go down that road.
We're going to have John Mark in next week as a drummer to talk about.
Who's John Mark?
John Mark Lindell.
Do I know
friend
him?
Friend of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, John Mark Lindell. He did the music. He does the music at the beginning of the show. Yeah. Anyway.
And the remotes.
So rest in peace to Neil Peart, Ed Burns, Buck Henry. None of them are dopes. So the remainder of 2020 is just going to be me, Don Imus, the I Man, doing all the Who Died. Unless somebody else that Tim Andrews can do dies.
All right, yeah, so that is, if you want to find out more about how to become a patron, just go to our website, radiolabyrinthpodcast.com, and we are kicking off our very first Patreon-only bonus show this week. It'll post probably to the Patreon page before this episode posts, so
exclusive
ask
content.
One of your friends who's a Patreon to let you know. Anyway, thank you very much, Brian Silverbacks, for joining the show.
Thank you for having me, man. I hope next time that I will even have way more cooler stuff.
Like you had plenty
of
cool stuff.
I'm gradually getting cooler, like the amount of cool stuff that I'm doing. So I just want the bills to start getting paid. Is that too much to ask?
I want the bills to make it to the playoffs and your bills to get paid. Well, they did make it to the playoffs. I'd like them to win.
Oh, okay. Let's go all the way.
About maybe when the outsider's finished, we'll get you back in and we'll talk about where we saw you.
Circle all my ass appearances.
Circle back.
Circle my ass appearances. Or maybe I'll get another gig between now and then.
Yeah, right? maybe we'll have you on and we'll talk about your comic book that got picked up.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
If not before, then we'll definitely have you back in May when the
May
book's
2020.
Coming out.
Yeah.
All right,
and,
man.
But starting next month, you'll be able to go to your comic book store and you can have them reserve you a copy. Like, that's the reason that I had to get everything done now, is so that it could be in the magazine for pre-order.
All right, what's it called again?
Loggerhead. Loggerhead is a slang name for
a
huge alligator snapping turtle.
Yeah. All right, go get that. Go to your comic book shop. If you live in Tucker, you live in downtown Atlanta, you live in Buckhead, find yourself a comic book shop, go in there and put down Loggerhead on your thing. You don't want to die like Loggerhead. So until next week, please remember to
keep it canon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows you don't want to sacrifice reliability for savings. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select LG appliances and purchase two or three select major appliances to get an additional 10% off. Save big on LG, America's most reliable line of home appliances at Lowe's. Based on independent reliability surveys 2021 to 2024 and select major appliances as compared to competing manufacturers offering full appliance lines. See associate for more details. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Exclusions apply. Valid 6/18 through 7/9.